Okay. Now, today is the last message in our series called God's Good Creation. The first week we looked at Genesis 1 and saw that God created all things good. The second week we looked at Psalm 9 and saw that God placed us in charge of His creation. We are His stewards. And last week we looked at Psalm 19 and knowing God through His creation. And today we close out the series by looking at God's good gift of creativity. Now, our text in Exodus today takes place immediately after the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Moses has ascended to the top of Mount Sinai, where God has just given him detailed instructions concerning the tabernacle. And now in chapter 31 of the book of Exodus, God tells Moses how the building of the tabernacle is to be accomplished. So he gives him detailed instructions how the tabernacle is going to be built. So what is creativity and where does it come from? When God created the world, He created men and women in His own image. He told them to be fruitful and multiply and to rule over all that He had created. As part of that rule, God had Adam name the animals. This was one of the first recorded creative acts of man. He also placed Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them work to do. That work involved thinking, planning, and decision-making, all of which are aspects of the creative process. After the fall, we find that mankind's creativity continued, although it was now stained by sin. In the early chapters of Genesis, we see the rise of agriculture, the building of cities, great cities, the forging of tools, and even the beginning of music. We see or read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 21, that and his brother's name was Jubal. Very important name. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. First musician, yeah? In short, we find the beginning of human culture as man began to put into practice the creative gifts that God had given him to fulfill his task of ruling over creation. And so God, the Creator, is the source of all creativity. And in creating man in His own image, He gave man gifts of creativity also. Our text today has to do with a very practical matter. God is telling Moses who will be in charge of building the tabernacle. But the text also contains four very important principles for us as we consider God's good gifts of creativity. They are, number one, God chooses to whom He gives gifts. Number two, God gives knowledge, skills, ability, and craftsmanship. Number three, God gives a wide variety of creative gifts. Number four, God's gifts have a purpose. And there's a purpose that God give you a gift or several gifts. So let's get on with it. With regards to gifts of creativity or talents, first of all, God chooses to whom He gives gifts. Now look at Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And the word translated called in this verse means to be commissioned. Now, you have heard of people commissioning artwork to be done before. Well, here God commissioned Bezaleel, or Bezaleel, son of Uri, for the work of overseeing the building of the tabernacle. God had gifted Bezaleel for this task. God chooses to whom he gives gifts. Now, better get used to this name, Bezaleel, because we will be hearing a lot of him throughout the sermon. Now, we mentioned that God is the one who chooses to whom he gives gifts. We find this principle throughout the scripture. It is true of spiritual gifts as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul lists a number of gifts, and then he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, but all these worketh one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Hebrews 2:4 speaks of the similar things, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. But spiritual gifts are only one example of this. God is the giver of all gifts, and he chooses which gifts to give to them. Yet God did not create everyone the same. To some he gives artistic ability. Some can draw very well, I can't. And to others, musical ability to play the piano or other instruments, which I can't as well. To others, the ability to make things with their hands. Some are very good with crafts. To others, work with numbers and figures. It is an accountant, as some of you are here. And obviously, I'm not one of them. You know, I'm not very good at numbers. So God, in his infinite wisdom, gave you exactly the creative gifts that he wanted you to have. You see, your gifts are part of what you are or who you are. They are part of the person that God created you to be. Unique. So, we should receive those gifts with thanksgiving and use them to the best of our ability. So don't waste it and don't lose it. But some people don't like the gifts that they have. They would rather trade them in for someone else's gift. But such displays is probably, shall I say, a lack of faith in God. We read in Isaiah chapter 45, it says in 45 verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker, contend with his maker, or argue with his maker, let their posture strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned him, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. But isn't that exactly what we are doing when we question the gifts that God has given us? Are we not saying, God, why did you make me like this? God, why did you give me this set of gifts which I don't want? Or why didn't you give me those gifts instead? God chooses to whom he gives gifts, and so we should not regard it as being little worth, nor should we envy the gifts of other people. So with regards to created gifts, God chooses to whom he gives them, and the same principle applies to spiritual gifts. It is entirely up to him, up to God, to give to whosoever he wills. And we should give thanks to him for the gift that he has given us. We should not regard the gift as being little worth, as I said, nor should we be envious of other people's gifts. So that's point number one. Number two, God gives knowledge, skill, ability, and craftsmanship. Look at verse 2 and 3 of Exodus chapter 31. It says, "See, I have chosen," again, "Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him," Bezalel, "with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts." I find it interesting that God says, "I have filled him. I have filled Bezalel, the son of Uri, with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in craftsmanship." Throughout the scriptures, we continually find God's Spirit involved in creative acts, even right from the start. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, "The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And when God created man in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Bible says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now the word "breathe into" calls to mind God's Spirit. What is the breath of God if not the Spirit of God? So the word "breathe into" tells us that the Spirit of God has made the dust of the ground, Adam, come to life. Now when you become a Christian, you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. How? Jesus said you are born again, which he also called being born of the Spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 8. What is our Lord referring to? He was referring back to Ezekiel chapter 36, where God said, Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, "A new heart also will I give to you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." So the Holy Spirit is part of God's creative acts, and so it should not surprise us that God also gives us our creative gifts through the Holy Spirit. So let us go back to Exodus chapter 31 and let us look at verse 2 and 3 once again. It says, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts." Apparently, this man, Bezalel, was a master craftsman. He was filled with the Spirit of God, with skills, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to do the work of building the tabernacle. God had clearly chosen Bezalel for this task, by the way, long before he revealed it to Moses. Moses did not just walk down the mountain and find Bezalel. Oh, okay, suddenly can do all these kind of things. No, God doesn't work that way. God had been preparing Bezalel all along. And Bezalel would have had to work hard to develop those skills as well. Like some of you who had worked hard on learning and practicing your music instruments for years. Still, God had chosen him for the task. And with that in mind, he had filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. Now, we are not all going to be like Bezalel. It seems that Bezalel was an extraordinarily gifted man. If he was born during the Renaissance, the period of Renaissance, we would call him a Renaissance man. He's multi-talented. He has so many talents. You and I will probably not going to attain to the same level of skill and mastery that Bezalel obviously had, and that's okay. Okay? No one is, you know, Da Vinci. No one. Now everyone is a Da Vinci or, you know, Einstein or, you know, some of the most gifted men in history. That's okay. So God not only chooses to whom he gives gifts, he also chooses how much or how many talents he gives to give to each person. But I want to say this. More is given, more is expected. If God has given you more skills and talents than other people, then use it to the glory of God. Because it all comes from God. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Yes, it includes your spiritual gifts. And all cometh down from the Father of lights. Or as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7, what hast thou that thou didst not receive. These verses can be applied to any good things, not only your talents and gifts, but also your wealth, your money, your family, your possessions, your house, and everything. If God is the giver of all good gifts, which he is, then we should never take a wrongful pride in our talents and gifts that he has given us, or hide them under the radar so nobody knows what we can do. Decades ago, I'm old. I was probably 17 or 18, so, you know, many years ago. I picked up guitar myself, so I was self-taught. But I know that I'm not really a musician myself. And I think I learned enough to play in fellowship groups, church retreats, and prayer meetings. And I know, also, I'm far from being the best guitar player. All right, I'm just average. But I still give my all to the Lord whenever and whatever it requires. Because he has given me the talent, the gift. So I should give my all to the Lord. Then again, I know that not everyone is equally talented. For example, in the area of music, for years, I learned one thing. That is that some people had the special aptitude for music that others did not have. For some people, rhythm and timing come naturally. Whereas for others, they just never seems to get it. Okay. Sorry to say, like one of my brothers or my own brothers, and who, since he's not here, I can say that he is pretty much tone deaf. Okay. But some people have perfect pitch, you know, just they can just get the perfect pitch just like that. Some people take an instrument or an activity in a special way, and even without formal training, and they have a very good ears so that they could play the piano or other instruments without even going through formal training. They say they play by ears, you know, they have good ears. They can remember stuff. They can remember all the music and rhythms, and they can just simply play them. Some people have a certain gifts for writing or language or drawing or electronics or computers or accounting where it just comes easy for them. Maybe some of you are like that. We call those people sometimes natural people. They have natural talents. But biblically speaking, there's nothing natural about it. Because God is the one who gives us and gives you those abilities and talents. It is the gift of God. It is a gift from God. Do you have knowledge in certain area? Do you have special abilities? Do you have skills that you have been able to develop beyond what the average people can do in that area, in music or vocal gifts? Some people have beautiful, beautiful voice. And you know, I know some of you have in this congregation a beautiful voice as well. And God give you that. It comes from God. It comes from Him. God gave you your creative abilities, and you need to honor Him with the gifts that He has given you. For God gives knowledge, skill, ability, and all sorts of craftsmanship. So with regard to gifts or creative gifts first, we learn that God chooses to whom He gives gifts. Second, God gives knowledge, skill, ability, and craftsmanship. Number three, we learn that God gives a wide variety of creative gifts. Now going back to Exodus chapter 31, verses 4 to 5, when God called Bezalel, He gave him knowledge, skill, and ability, and so on and so forth. And verse 4 and 5 says, beginning verse 4, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. For sure, Bezalel wasn't just given one gift. The ability to work with gold and silver and brass and so on, Bezalel was skilled in many mediums. He also knew how to cut stones and place them in beautiful settings and designs. And besides, he also understood carpentry and how to work with wood. Apparently, he knew much more. Therefore, in verse 5, finally stops listing all his different gifts and skills, just say that he was able to engage in all manners of workmanship. Just to sum it up. Okay, he knew so much, but he knew all manners of workmanship. It's just so too long to list them out. All out. Today, we will call this kind of person a handyman, right? Right, it's good to be a handyman. My brother-in-law, you know, is one of them. He is very talented. You know? I am definitely not one of them. But he was super handyman, Bezalel. He was super talented. Again, we saw that God gave Bezalel a wide variety of gifts, and that was just one person. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, having then gifts, deferring account according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, God, in His grace, gives us a variety of gifts to all. All people everywhere. And so when we think of creative gifts, we should not limit ourselves to just thinking about creative arts, paintings, sculpture, writing, music, dancing, and design, and photography, and so on and so forth. All of human endeavors involved creative gifts and abilities, from a simple setting of the table for dinner. You should praise your wife for being so creative, right? Oh, thank you for setting up the table so creatively for dinner. And the building of the vast cathedrals, as those carpenters, they are all gifts. In a sense, every person here today in this congregation is a creative person. He or she is creative in his or her own way. Even making a simple cup of tea and then coffee, all right? You know, I always think that my wife makes better coffee than I do. I don't know why, you know. I like my wife's coffee better. So She is creative. She is skillful in that sense. So anytime you put part of yourself into a task or project, you are being creative. Anytime you organize or decorate something, you are being creative too. Anytime you solve a problem, you are being creative. Anytime you apply the knowledge, ability, and skill that God has given you to the task at hand, you are being creative too. So when you think about creativity, don't just think about the arts. God gives a wide variety of creative gifts, and I'm sure that He has given you one, at least, or a few. All right? So with regard to God's creative gifts, the first, God chooses to whom He gives gifts. It is all up to Him. Second, He gives knowledge, skill, and craftsmanship. Third, God gives a wide variety of creative gifts. And finally, God gives you a gift with a purpose. Let us look at verse 6, where God expands the creative task for building the tabernacle beyond just Bezaliah in Exodus chapter 31, verse 6. At a read, verse 6, and behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put my wisdom, and that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So Moses was given some instructions, and is supposed to pass down all these instructions to these two men, all right, Aholiab and Bezaliah. Now, why did God give Bezaliah and Aholiab all the other craftsmanship and special skills? I'm sure that they used those skills for many other things as well, but God also had a specific purpose in mind for them. God had given them all the particular skills they needed in order to build the tabernacle, and not just to build it, but to build it according to God's exact specifications. As God told Moses, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, and you're supposed to tell them exactly as I have told you. As part of that purpose is simply for us to fulfill our role to the glory of God as His image bearers, because we have been made in the image of God. In other words, God made us in His image so that we may exercise our spiritual gifts to His glory. Now, this happens whenever we serve Him according to God's given specifications. And where do we find them? In the Bible. Like Bezaliah and Aholiab, of course, they have been special in those days. They are given direct specification from the Lord. But we get our instruction and specification from the Bible. So listen to what theologian Abraham Kuyper said about this. He said, as image bearers of God, we, you and I, man possesses the possibility both to create something beautiful and to delight in it. The world of sounds, the world of forms, the world of tints, and the world of poetic ideas can have no other source than God. And it is our privilege as bearers of His image to have a perfect, have a perception of this beautiful world, artistically to reproduce and humanly to enjoy it, unquote. Therefore, we as Christians should be strongly encouraged to get involved in all areas of life and use the gifts and talents that God has given you to His glory. And when I say all areas of life, I meant for you to engage in the area of your calling, your present calling, your job, and a sphere of your influence to the glory of God. Whether you're an accountant, whether you're a teacher, a nurse, or an engineer, or a student, or a mother, or a father, or home. Too often we think of Christianity only in terms of the Bible. Prayer, Bible, church on Sunday, and come home. That's it. That's as important as all those things are. Those are important. The Christian life is so much bigger than that. Christianity is all about glorifying God. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So not just in one area, but in all areas of your lives. Paul made it clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Isn't that wonderful to know? Just as Bezaliah and Aholiab produced quality workmanship for the tabernacle, you and I are also the workmanship of the Almighty God. That means God has not only called you to a specific job to work as an accountant, a nurse, or a teacher, whatever, but He has also created you to use your specific gifts that He has given you to do those works well, according to His specifications in the Bible. And any work done for God is a good work, unless you're doing it for yourself. Any work that's done for God is a good work. Again, whether you're an accountant, a teacher, a nurse, or engineer, or a student, a mother, or father, God has given you a gift for a purpose. He has called you unto good work so that you may glorify Him as His image bearer. For we were created in the image of God. And remember, once again, every work done for God is to God's glory is a good work, as we have been called to do everything for the glory of God, for Christ Jesus. But if we don't fulfill the purpose that God has given us, our faith becomes divorced from real life. And we lose our real influence as Christians in the world and the opportunity to be His witnesses. When the church has lost its influence in the world and ceased to be His witness, we become a candle that is high under the bushel and the salt that is no longer salty. This can happen when we lose our interest in the world that God has made. We lose our opportunity, therefore, to reach out to the world. Therefore, as Christians, we should not only be interested in Christianity and studying the Bible and prayer and theology. That's all good. We should be interested in everything. Seek to be a positive influence in this world. Do not be conformed, right, to this world, right? But be transformed in the renewing of a mind. So you can go out to be a witness, give you an influence. In summary, first of all, we learned that God chooses to whom He gives gifts. It is up to Him. It's up to Him to give gifts. And God gives knowledge, skill, and ability in craftsmanship. He gives also a wide variety of creative gifts. And lastly, God's gifts have a purpose. It's for us to go out to be His image bearer, to glorify His name. By using the gifts and talents that He's given you in the area of influence, of spirit influence that God has placed you with, right, to be His witnesses. Let us pray.